and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, February 2nd, 2009. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. I am so excited that you are here with us today. If you're not in the chat room, it's easy to join there. Just go to indiebeauty.com and click on Radio Show on the top navigation bar. You'll be taken to a page where you can click to listen to the show and also chat with us live today. And while you're here, why not post a quick Twitter to your friends and ask them to join the fun? The instructions are at the top of the Radio Show page. You know, I get more and more questions these days from men and women who want to start a business with their spouse. I've been in business with mine for several years, and so the topic is especially close to my heart. In fact, I blog about it quite frequently, and each time I do, the topic always generates a lot of fruitful and thought-provoking conversation. You can find these posts at indiebusinessblog.com. Just click on the family category, and you'll be taken right there. Whenever I meet other couples who run a family business together, I get excited at the thought of sharing experiences, tips, and strategies for success. That's why when I ran across April Jones a few weeks ago on Twitter and discovered that she and her husband Chuck co-own a family business, I knew I just had to share them with you. Chuck and April Jones are the co-authors of a book called In Business and in Love, How Couples Can Successfully Run a Marriage-Based Business. Now, this book is fantastic, and it's very easy to read. And I strongly suggest that if you are in business with your spouse or you're thinking about going into business with your spouse, that you get this book and read it together. It's a fantastic resource. Chuck and April also live and work in the state that I live and work in, which is kind of cool. They're here in North Carolina, and they're joining us today from their home office there. Welcome to the show, Chuck and April Jones.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, if you guys have any questions out there, you can email them to me at info@indiebusinessradio.com. So Chuck and April, let me just start by asking Chuck, if you would, because I know you had the business first and then April joined it. But can you take us back a little bit before that to what your lives were like before you started working together, Chuck?
Sure. I worked in advertising and marketing for about 11 years. April was an insurance agent, and we found that in the mornings, we said hello, good morning, maybe had breakfast if our schedules allowed, and we went in different directions. And we spent all of our days apart. And when we got back home at night, we would discuss a little bit about things that were going on, and then had what we kind of called remnant time for our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great marriage, but we just wanted more time together. And so,
remnant time, that's a good way to put it, remnant time.
It was, and so we just decided that, you know, there should be something else that we could do if we could ever work together, that we felt like the time that we would invest in each other would be time better spent than investing it somewhere else. And so that was the emphasis for trying to start the business.
Right. So what happened? I mean, you had a business and you were running it, and I know April had a job that she wasn't especially even dissatisfaction. I think from your book, April, you kind of liked your job, but you saw some of the same things that Chuck was seeing at the same time. You guys were thinking these things without even really talking to each other about them at first, right?
Well, that's right. We, you know, just keenly felt that life was just pulling us in different directions. And, you know, we got married to be moving in the same direction. You know, our goals were the same, but it was just very, very difficult that, you know, I'm in one industry thinking about a lot of things that were entirely different than what was on Chuck's mind, you know, when it came to our professional lives. So there's a
sentence in your book that I love that says, we got married so we could be together and make our lives better.
Exactly. And when you are moving kind of in different directions, even though you're moving the same direction, but you're working in different places, you're not working together, you find that you get a little bit distracted, and you find yourself just thinking about and talking about different things that aren't necessarily the direction that you want to be going together. It's a distraction and something that we wanted to alleviate.
And your book talks about the first 90 days of working together as being a really critical point in time. I mean, obviously, if you don't have a business, you have to have a plan and you have to put a platform together for the business. But strictly in terms of working together, your book talks about the first 90 days being critical. And you mentioned some specific tips to help people use those first 90 days to really get their businesses off on the right foot. I'd like for you to share some of those tips with our listeners today, Chuck.
Okay. The first thing that I think that you have to understand very quickly is that when you start spending a lot of time working together, that you have differences in styles.
Okay.
And the key to that is that you may have gone through a lot of life experiences together, but the business experience, while it is a life experience, is different. And one of the things that we talk about in the book is trying to teach. I was trying to teach April how to drive a manual transmission, and she had not done that. And in doing so, we had a long history of being together, but when you start trying to do something that, in this particular instance for me, I had been in the marketing and advertising industry, and April had not, and so since that was the business that we were going to start, there were certain aspects of that I knew that she did not, and so, it was a situation where I had to be very patient in that. And understand that her way of learning things was different than mine, and she really enjoys a book learning type experience. She loves to read a manual. I never read a manual, and so I had to realize, if I'm going to kind of begin to incorporate her into what we're doing here, I'm going to have to work a little bit more like I am a manual, and to give her information that she can learn and digest in the way that she digests it. So the same way for her, and I'll let her speak for her working with me for the first 90 days, but the understanding that there are just style differences that in your marriage you get used to, but when you start a business and work that way, they are, they manifest themselves in a lot of different ways, and you have to be willing to accept a different working style as well as different lifestyles. It's almost like getting married again when you start the business. After you've been married, you're starting kind of almost a second little marriage because you work together so closely on something that you haven't worked together in the past. And it's just an understanding and a realization that's what you're doing. That's very critical.
Well, I'm so glad you started off with that style-related issue, because this is something that we do with our coworkers without really thinking about it. That person is not really a morning person, so we'll kind of leave them alone till 12 o'clock, or whatever it may be. We kind of, gradually get used to doing this without any question when it comes to people that we don't know. But in a marriage relationship, it takes a little bit of extra thought to do that sometimes, don't you think? Because you may not know these things about that person. If you haven't worked together before, you don't really know what your spouse is in an office or in a work environment until you actually start doing it.
Absolutely. I think that you don't know each other's professional styles at all until you are working professionally together. It's even though you may have been a part of some business or corporate social situations, the workplace is an entirely different atmosphere. And you have to be ready for that. And also, be willing to give each other the grace you give coworkers and friends and the professional courtesies as well, I think, are very important. And
so easy to forget those when you really have to make both relationships work. So I know you guys came together in business when a business was already in existence. Do you have any thoughts based on your experiences as well as your knowledge of other friends and colleagues you have, couples that are in business together, of some things that people who don't have that business platform already in place should consider when they come together? Because they're like starting it from scratch, right? That's a whole other issue. So in terms of coming together along those planes, what are some of the things, aside from the usual business planning issues, you know, what is our market going to be and all that stuff, what are some things that you guys can suggest based on your experience for people who are, you know, sort of thinking right now, they're listening to the show and they're going, you know, honey, tune in because, you know, everybody's getting laid off at your office. Maybe we should think about a plan B and have a backup. What are some things that you guys would suggest for people in that position?
Go ahead, Chuck.
I will go first and say one thing is to look at, I would start by looking at some basic business techniques and deciding if you're going to start, you're going to start small. Every business generally starts small. And looking at basic business techniques and making sure that you can, A, both between you cover those business techniques, and B, that you're comfortable giving certain of those business principles to the other to cover, and that you can feel confident that they are covering and not be looking over each other's shoulders all the time. And we can talk about that in a little more detail later. April, what would you say?
Well, I would agree that you need to research your business idea and find the niche and absolutely use each other's strength and how you're going to build that. Some you know, just practical in the office advice I would give is have your own desk, if possible, your own work area, and if you need it, even your own workplace. You know, if you both are on the phone at the same time, sometimes that can get really loud, for instance. So you need to plan for things like that. And, you know, Chuck and I keep varying degrees of desk styles, we'll just say. And so don't let one's work habits, desk habits, interfere with yours, or you'll just run into some frustration. So think about just some tactical things that you need to do in your office environment to keep the peace and keep everything running smoothly and to promote your own success.
Right, and you know, those are such great tips. I love those. And you know, I'm so excited about this topic, too, because, you know, we live in a day and time that's very different from the way it was even just, you know, 15 years ago where, you know, you could not really count on a job to last for most of your working life, but you certainly had a much greater chance of pursuing that as an option if that's what you wanted to do than you do today. So, Chuck, do you think that, you know, this option of working together with your spouse is really more than just an idea these days, that couples really need to spend some time, to invest some time sitting down and looking at this as a viable option for supporting themselves and their family?
Well, I definitely do. And here's why. I think that there is a, and it's become a little more prevalent and a little more visible probably even in the last 6 months than in the last 10 years. And that is what I call one of the myths of job security. And, you know, there's a sense that when you venture out on your own in any way, that you are leaving job security. You say, you know, I've got this job, it pays me this, I can count on it, I do a good job, and if I leave that, then I'm leaving my security.
Mm-hmm.
When in truth, we believe that it's just the opposite. We believe that when you leave a position, now let me jump in and quickly stop and say, I'm not talking about leaving it with an uninformed and leaving it without a plan.
Right.
But if you put together a plan that looks good to you, that you've put pencil to paper, you've run the numbers, and you've got a good idea of what your expenses are going to be and what your potential revenue is, you have a good market, a product or a service that you can market, and you have some ideas, probably, you know, ideally you have some clients already that you know that you can get business from. But even so, if you do not, you have a good idea of what the market potential of your client and your client base and your market is. When you leave that and you put it into your own hands, you eliminate decisions that someone else is making for you.
Uh-huh.
Your job security becomes yourself.
Right.
And I've always worked, not only in our business, but even before starting our business, I've always worked on the idea that we're all 100% commission people every day. We go and do a job, and we expect to be paid for that. But if we don't do that job, we're not going to be paid for that anyway. So when you have that mentality anyway, then you have to remember that you're putting yourself and your career into your own hands, and who better hands to look out for you than yourself? In today's economic environment, I think that is probably even more true than it was when we started the business.
I agree, and we're going to come back after our first break and talk more about that with Chuck and April Jones, co-authors of In Business and in Love, How Couples Can Successfully Run a Marriage-Based Business. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. This is Donna Maria, and we're talking with Chuck and April Jones, authors of In Business and in Love, How Couples Can Successfully Run a Marriage-Based Business. And before we took our break, Chuck was sharing his view on the way the economy is going today and how people can and should consider going into business together as spouses as a serious, viable option. And Chuck, you have a story to share, right?
I do. I have a friend locally here where we live, and his business that he was in, as far his career was in an IT area, and he went from appeared to be a fairly stable company, large company position, to a startup company with a great opportunity within the startup. However, if you remember the fall of 2008, when the capital almost dried up. Their capital for the startup dried up, and literally within 4 weeks of going to the new company, the company went out of business. So not only was he had left a job that he considered stable, but he'd gone into a startup situation, and then that was gone. And his tendency was to think, okay, I need to get another job. However, he had a marketable skill. His wife was in a position that she worked part-time but had enough time that she could spend, help him do some of the administrative things that he wasn't quite as good at. He was able to parlay his skill into a very niche area of IT, and has just in an economy that everyone would say is sinking, he is growing a business right now. Over the last 4 months, he's actually started and grown a business in this environment, because he's eliminated, you know, a lot of what you do when you are a startup. He has very low overhead. He's selling a knowledge-based component, and he's able to devote his time to that. And, you know, in that kind of environment, everything that you make is virtual profit. Now, it's not complete profit, but when you eliminate a lot of your overhead, he's been able to kind of start that and get going. His wife helps him do that. She's continued to work to maintain a small cash flow outside of their business, but it's looking very quickly like they're going to be able to bring her in full time as well. It's a great time. I mean, you know, when the chips are down, I think opportunities abound, and I think that that's one of the situations that seems like is happening in this economy.
And also, Chuck, as you say, when the chips are down, I think that families really kind of roll up their sleeves. And I have a friend who says the family that grinds together binds together. And I can just speak from my own experience when I say that, you know, quite frankly, owning a business with your spouse is one more reason to work out your differences.
Exactly.
And that's a powerful incentive in a day when it's, you know, it's tough to stay together, of course, in any kind of economy, but certainly when you're running off in a bunch of different directions, it's even harder. So having a business that you really look to each other to, you know, make a commitment to and be accountable for the specific job tasks that you agree on, I mean, I'd love to know your thoughts on that. Have you found that, even though I know from your book your marriage was, you know, going gangbusters even before the business, but don't you find that it strengthens the family unit and the relationship overall? That was a question for anyone, but kind of a follow-up.
Sure. April, why don't you just take that one?
Oh, I definitely do. I mean, you learn so much more about each other, and you get to experience the marriage, you know, 24/7, mm-hmm. and not just in these allotted time slots.
Right.
That when you may or may not be at your best, you may be tired, you may be exhausted from giving at work, and come home empty. I used to have a friend who sometimes would send his wife back outside, and he'd tell her to get the garden hose because she had work all over her.
Oh, my. Well, and let's talk about that, too, because when you work together, you know, 8 hours a day or however long, sometimes longer, I guess, in a family business, then you do have work really all over you, and you've got home all over you, too, because I can't tell you how many times I've had a radio show with a nursing baby here or a load of clothes in the wash at the same time. That's not the case today. But certainly there, can you comment, April, on, particularly from a woman's perspective, is there a little bit more overlap and a little bit more adjustment that needs to take place, particularly if you have children? I know you don't have any, but I know you have some friends who are running businesses that have kids. There's a little bit of an adjustment there, is there not, and an acceptance of a little bit of overlap. Can you comment on that, April?
Well, sure. I like to call it the homogenous life.
Okay.
So instead of, you know, having, I don't know, we'll just keep with kind of the dairy metaphor, the strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla in separate sections in your ice cream carton. You're all blended. And you just have to realize that that's what it is. I embrace it. I love that. I'm that kind of person. And I contend that really we all are. We don't operate well or as well as we could when things have to be separate, when we have to wash off the work or wash off home and you know, kind of take a deep breath and straighten our shoulders and do something else in a different way than what we were doing 5 minutes before. It's just kind of against human nature. And when life and work and home and personal and professional kind of become everything and all the time, it just seems more natural to me.
I think it's a much more simpler and easy to embrace way to live. I remember how things were before we worked together, and that was before we had children, and I sort of, you know, looked into the future and thought, you know, I don't want to live this kind of a compartmentalized life when I do get married and have children. So hopefully some of our listeners out there who are maybe not married but maybe thinking about getting married are really getting some good tips here from Chuck and April. And one of the things, April, that you've shared, I'd like for you to share with listeners as well, is something that you and Chuck kind of call the adventurous spirit thing that you need to consider. Share a little bit about that.
Yes. You know, Chuck probably has a more adventurous spirit than I do. We have a chapter in the book called Sorry, Honey, I've Grown Very Fond of Eating. And it's reflective of I think, particularly, you know, maybe a female tendency to worry about the stability and security that that steady paycheck can bring, or that we believe it can. I think that you have to take some deep breaths and find your own sense of adventure, but also, you know, express to your spouse how much you can tolerate, how much, you know, what size chunks of adventure can you tolerate at one time. And I think just communicating, and also trust. You have to bring the same trust that you have in love with your spouse to that business table. You have to trust each other in these kind of decisions. If you are less adventurous, that may be harder, but you just have to think back on the times that you did trust the person you love and how it worked out. And also, you just got to have confidence in your own abilities and be willing to put those out there on the table and make them a vital contribution to the business. And I think when you do that, you will be excited and you will be willing to just be on the adventure yourself.
Yeah, Chuck, you being the more adventurous person and also the person who had the business first, what was the transition like for you? You had to be, I would imagine, because April hadn't had a business of her own outside of a traditional workplace before that, did you find that you had to kind of, understand that, you know, there's a risk involved in this, and some people approach that with a much more excited attitude than others when they get started on that?
Right. I think that April, first of all, I want to make sure April gets credit for being more adventurous than it sounds like she is. She very much is.
Okay.
But at the same time, I do think that what you have to do is, I think it all goes back to being able to think through logically and plan and look at what your business is and look at what you expect to be doing and be able to very much look at it with pen to paper. I always come back to that. Mm-hmm. Run the numbers.
Right.
Because if you know, there's, you know, you always have, you'll run into people that say, you know, I really do, I'm going to start a business of my own. Well, what are you going to do? Well, you know, I love to make, I love to make knitted doilies.
Right.
I mean, well, that's great. I love that you love that, but have you really tried to figure out what the market is for that? Can you make the numbers work for that to be a profitable business? And in doing that, what you're doing is you're really assessing the risk.
Mm-hmm.
You're assessing the risk that you're taking. You're trying to quantify it, and many times those the answers to those questions will be the answers that will sway the spouse who is not as enthusiastic about being in business. April was very enthusiastic about being in business. We kind of wrote that chapter based on people that we knew who weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you can say, you know, here's what I'm getting ready to do. Here's a market, and let me quantify what that is, and let me tell you why I don't think this is a risky business. It can be a lot of different things. It can be one great way to not make it risky is to stay out of capital-intensive businesses.
Right.
You know, if you say, you know, what I really want to do is I want to manufacture injection-molded plastic cups, that's great, but the capital to get into that business is immense. And if you don't have contracts lined up or suppliers or anything, you know, you're going to spend a lot of money just getting into the business before you've ever made a profit. However, if you say, you know, I want to start a business mowing lawns and doing landscaping. Let's back it up. I want to start a commercial landscaping business. You can start that business first by just trimming hedges. You don't even have to buy a lawnmower. You can start trimming shrubbery, and then you can work up to a lawnmower. You can build the business as you as you, your revenue comes in and you self-fund the business based on increased revenues. Well, for a spouse or someone who's not quite as adventurous about going into business, if you can say, look, we have X amount of money in the bank and we're not going to touch any of that money. We're going to build this slowly over this, and this is how I see that this can happen. And once this happens, then we'll do this. And once that happens, then we'll do that. And show that, then the person who's less enthusiastic about it can see a plan and not be worried that you're going to blow the entire nest egg on some harebrained idea.
And that's such an important point. Your summary there really points out too, Chuck, does it not, that everybody has a talent or a gift or a lawnmower that they can use to generate income, so to speak, on the side. Everybody can do that, right? So there's no reason why anybody in any economy should have to feel like they have to rely 100% on a traditional job to take care of themselves.
That's correct. And there's a great line in business, and this is whether it's marriage-based business or whether it's just business in general, and that is the quickest way to make money is to do something that no one else wants to do.
That's right.
There's always things that someone doesn't want to do. Now, some of them can be worse than others, but there's always things that someone doesn't want to do, and if you're willing to do them, someone will pay you to do them.
That's a really, really good point, and I hope that everybody's getting as much out of this as I am, because these people have been in business for quite some time. They wrote the book on it, literally, so they're expert at it, and the tips in here, they really are in this book. They are really, really written from a practical perspective. There's not just a bunch of theory and business planning ideas. This is really written from the perspective of Chuck and April as business partners and spouses. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this topic and how you can look forward to starting a business, a profitable business, with your spouse when we come back. This is Indie Business Radio. Don't touch that mouse. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here talking with Chuck and April Jones, authors of In Business and In Love, How Couples Can Successfully Run a Marriage-Based Business. This is a great book. If you have a friend who's thinking about going into business with their spouse, or if you're thinking about it, this is a wonderful book, a guidebook to help you get started. And one of the sections I want to read, I want to ask you a question about this, starting with you, April. On page 38, it says this, and this is really short. Virtually all successful companies are made up of two or more individuals doing different but parallel functions to the same end, to produce a quality product or deliver a marketable service. And this is in the section of the book called Who's On First. How important is it, April, to actually sit down with your spouse and write down a job description, who's going to do what and what the goal is?
Well, it's very important because you have to assume that if you have both agreed to start your own business, you are both fairly driven, we'll say. You could also say competitive or just driven to success. So I think it's real important so that you avoid a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of overlap, and a lot of frustration. I think that if you don't do it, you could, there's an example of the book that we both at one point got our long distance carrier, which was a big deal at that point. And so one, we had to decide who had to go back to the person they said yes to and say no. And, you know, those things are avoidable if you just say, okay, look, you're going to handle office maintenance, and that's going to include these types of things. But also, just build on your strengths. You know, Chuck is a graphic designer, and I am not. So that's fairly easy, you know. But because of that intensity of needing to be at the computer a lot of the times, it often meant that I was the one who had to get in the car and be the courier. And I had to decide that that was okay, that, you know, it was, we were both meeting that end, even though his part in it might look a little more glamorous. And there's going, you know, I'm sure, Chuck, you can think of a lot of unglamorous things that you've had to do while I was doing what we decided I would. You just have to give and take. And with writing down what you can each do and contribute to the business, you don't have to think about it as this is what I have to do or this is only what I can do. But write down what you can and want to contribute to the business, your biggest strengths and your biggest weaknesses and your gifts and things that you really feel strongly about. And you'll do that fairly quickly. You'll be surprised at how easily that just kind of becomes your rhythm.
Right. Pretty easier to do since if you like to eat, you have to do that.
Right.
That's right.
You know, and one of the things I'll add to that is that you have to, the one thing about a marriage-based business that is important to note, and I wouldn't want to scare anyone off by saying this, but your marriage has to be strong, because what you find out that you end up finding that you do is you have to be willing to accept the fact and be confident, that's a better word, to be confident in the fact that the decision your spouse is making, they are making for the best of you as a couple.
Right.
And so if we all make bad decisions. I mean,
right.
we do, but we don't make them maliciously, because if we're in the business together as a married couple, we're trying to make the best decision that we think for our not only our business but our marriage. And
right.
And if you trust that, then it makes it easier to say, okay, I know that I would handle this long distance carrier decision differently than you would, or I would handle the purchase of a new computer differently than you would. However, I trust that you know more about the computer than I do, and therefore you make the decision and you'll make the best decision. And so once you arrive at that level of trust, you need that, because there are some decisions that just cannot be made by two people. They need to be made by one person, and they need to be handled by one person. And we always, you know, our line has always been that even for the areas that I am responsible for, April is my number one advisor, but I make the decision. And for the areas that she's responsible for, I'm her number one advisor, but she makes the decision. She can take my advice, she can evaluate it, but ultimately she makes the decision for what she's responsible for, and I do the same.
Now, in your experience working together as a couple and also getting to know other couples who are working together, I bet you've come across some situations where you have wanted to be helpful to people who may be struggling to be in business together, because it's not always easy. And I know, you know, not only because, you know, relationships can be complicated, but also in this economy, you know, it's you know, a challenge to start a small business. Chuck, let me ask you, what are some of the signs that you have experienced yourself or watched other people go through that sort of indicates that maybe you might not want to go into business with your spouse until you work out a few other things first?
Oh, how long is this show?
Yeah, I know. We're actually in the last segment. But what I really want to do is maybe not go into so much detail, but just alert listeners to the fact that, you know, there may be some things you want to do before actually rolling up your sleeves in a business, because we have to plan this. We pink slips are going around, you know, like politicians handing out candy today. So you can't always plan for that. But what I'm hoping this show does, and what your book does, is let people know that while you may not be able to plan that specific event, you can structure your life in a way so that if it happens to you, you can respond to it and not have to, you know, go under.
Right. I think that we say something early on in the book, and I think it's proven true, and that is if you get along at the breakfast table, then you can work with your spouse. And that's really a very simplistic way of saying that if you and your spouse are at odds on every issue, and you know what? There are successful marriages out there where the spouses don't agree that often. It's hard for me to believe, but I see them. If you really do not agree on things and see eye to eye on basic things, it's very much a warning sign.
Yeah.
Because you again, you bring different strengths and weaknesses into your business just like you do into your marriage. But I go back to something I just said, and that is you have to be able to trust that your spouse and you are working toward the same end, that you
right.
have a shared objective of not only having a lifestyle that you can fund, but also a business that is going to serve both you, your own desires, your own intentions, as well as your lifestyle and your livelihood. And so if you really just disagree on things all the way down the line, even though your marriage may work in doing that, it's going to be difficult because what you're doing is you're then gambling your livelihood on that. When you can agree to disagree and say, well, she's that way and I'm this way, or he just does it that way, but I would never do that. And yet you go in your separate ways and you're operating in an office environment or a work environment where you are able to function and come back together with those differences. You're not gambling your livelihood on that. When you start this business together and you work together, then you're putting a lot of eggs in one basket. So I say that a real symbol for me, one is just being able to get along in basic things. The other thing is that I would say is an indicator that you really should consider it is, you know, there's the old line, opposites attract. And while I don't believe that entirely, I think that certainly April and I have run into couples out there who are very opposite in their lives, in their lifestyles, but they have extremely successful marriages, even though they're opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an introvert married to an extrovert, or, you know, someone who really loves the arts versus someone who loves athletics, and you know, they're very opposite, but yet they work as a team. But when you bring that into a work environment where you're really having to, I mean, some marriages thrive off of those differences, but really a business is what April said a few minutes ago. It has to have that shared objective and that purpose of going forward together. And if you have those differences that don't work that way, it's going to be difficult for you to do. It's not that you can't do it, but it's an interest level that has to be consistent. And I think if you don't have that, you really need to be very careful about making that decision to do it.
And the interesting thing too is that the parallels between having a personal relationship and a business relationship are quite interesting, and some of the sections of your book kind of point that out in such a good way and such a useful way for people who are thinking about going down this road together. What do you think you have observed in terms of lifestyle issues for people who are in business together that have children? April, have you noticed in any men and women that you know of that have businesses, that have children, when they work from home, that their lives are, I'll just say it from my perspective, a little bit less congested and a little bit less stressful than when that's not the case?
Yes, absolutely. And we actually did have a little experience this summer. My 4-year-old nephew stayed with us for 2 months this summer. So, you know, we went from no kids for over 20 years of marriage to a 4-year-old plus in our house and in our business. So that was quite a learning experience for all of us, and it was a lot of fun. And I think, you know, I can definitely just with him see how it works and how your life isn't as congested as you say. You know, you've got the flexibility to meet the needs of the children and to do what they need you to do. We do have some friends who are in business together, and they have 2 children, 12 and 8, I think. And just since they started working together, I see such a difference in the children. The children are more settled. They're happy. Not that they were unhappy before, but
right.
They are just, they know what's going to happen next, and children love that. And I think, you know, what's going to happen next is we're all going to be here, and mom and dad have some work to do while you do your homework, or dad's going to be able to take you to swimming today, and I will pick you up. And they're not nervous that, as before, maybe a meeting made you 15 minutes late,
right?
Or you had to miss a recital because of a business trip. You can plan and schedule your life. It's all homogenous, like I said before. And I think that probably just makes for such a harmonious life. Now, when my nephew came, I have to confess, one of the first things I did was find a day camp so that he was there in the morning having fun, and it was just around the corner from our house, our home office, so that it was convenient for either of us to pick him up and take him in the morning. And that way we had the mornings to work. Also, you know, we had the afternoons too if need be, but sometimes I save that afternoon work for after bedtime. And you have to decide you're going to be flexible in your work hours. I love that, but it is a transition from a 9-to-5 world.
Right, and you know, it's interesting when we talk about this as sort of a lifestyle issue, is today you kind of have a choice. But Chuck, there was a time not too long ago, a couple of generations ago, not too far back, when pretty much a family business was how everyone operated. Both of my grandparents on each side ran a family business, and that was just what they did.
It's true. I mean, the concept of going to work outside of the family is a very, very recent development. It's in the last 100 years.
Right.
And people worked. I mean, they lived. If they were shopkeepers, they lived above their shop, or they lived in the back. If they were farmers, they all worked together. Children worked on the farm with their parents, and they were handed down through the years. And if they had in any type of business that they were in or livelihood that they have, they worked as a family. They functioned as a family. And I think once we steered away from that for obvious reasons, industrialization and whatnot, we lost the sense that that was the norm, but it really, in many ways, is the norm. It's the way that we're wired to do. We're wired to have people that help us, and we're wired to have family around us. And I believe that when you do that, it can be very, very rewarding. But it does now require a mindset back to a more, I hate the word traditional because it has so many negative connotations, but in this case, it is a more traditional way of that families operated up until, like I said, just the recent past.
Well, you know, I heard a commentator on, I don't know if it was CNN or Fox or CNBC, I can't remember, one of the business channels, there was a commentator interviewing a woman who, I can't remember her exact profession, but one of the things that stuck out about what she was saying was, in watching training, I think she was like a sociologist or something like that, she was talking about, the trending now, which is another sort of weird word to use, but what people are looking for after the collapse of the economy and so many, you know, billionaires, you know, making so much money they can't even find it all. but about, you know, your average everyday people just looking for contentment, just looking for peace and solitude and contentment and happiness in a family unit, and appreciating the things that really matter in life and not living to acquire the next thing. It's like purchasing a car because you need one and not buying a particular car because the next time you're going to trade up to a bigger car or a bigger house or whatever it is. And so, you know, have you found that being together in a family business unit has sort of allowed you to appreciate those types of things? So the trappings that get so many people and have gotten so many people in trouble over the past couple of years, just they just aren't as appealing anymore. I'd like for both of you to comment on that, if you would. Chuck, you first.
Absolutely. I think that, what you end up finding out is that the things that matter to you are relationships, they're relational, they're time spent together, and that you you don't have to chase the trappings all the time. You can find satisfaction in just the simpler things. We've definitely found that.
And I know, April, you would agree. I know from reading the book, which is so wonderful, Chuck and April Jones, authors of In Business and In Love, How Couples Can Successfully Run a Marriage-Based Business. It's available on Amazon. You can also Twitter with April at April Jones. That's April with two L's. I would encourage you to check her out, follow her, and learn from her and her experiences. She's open to share. Thank you so much, Chuck and April Jones, for joining us this afternoon on Indie Business Radio. I will be here next week for another edition of Indie Business Radio. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.